The next case is 96718 Charles E. Hughes versus Registrar of Ohio Bureau of Motor Vehicles.
Time in Ohio than they get in Kentucky.
Justice Douglas, that issue has not arisen through the course of this appeal. I think, however, that if you look at what happens for the out-of-state DUI in terms of how Ohio treats that for the Ohio resident who is convicted of drunk driving out-of-state, you have a minimum of a six-month suspension. The same is also true when that Ohio motorist is convicted of drunk driving within Ohio. So as far as the out-of-state, in-state suspension of the license, which is all we're here today about, it is equal. They are given equal treatment. The issue which the appellees take challenge with is the fact that under Ohio's out-of-state DUI law, 4507.169, there is no provision for occupational driving privileges. The statute does not say you can't get it. It simply is silent about that.
Well, I had a little difficulty following the argument, so I want to make sure I understand your argument. Is your argument that under 169, the language says the scope of the hearing shall be limited to whether the person after the hearing when the person's brought in, the scope of the hearing shall be limited to whether the person actually pleaded guilty to or was found guilty of the offense for which suspension or denial is to be imposed? Is that the problem with 169 that applies to persons caught supposedly drunk driving in another state?
And Chief Justice Moore, you need to distinguish within 4507.169 what you're referring to, which is the administrative hearing. That is what is actually conducted, if you will, before the Bureau of Motor Vehicles. The only issue in that administrative hearing is this Mr. Hughes? Was Mr. Hughes convicted or did he plead guilty in another state to a substantially similar statute, namely a drunk driving statute like Ohio has? That's the only issue over here in the administrative proceeding. What the appellees are challenging in this case is that they say the statute is silent on their ability to go to court and at least to ask for occupational driving privileges, make the same petition that an Ohio motorist who was convicted in Ohio could make if they were convicted of drunk driving.
And is the right in Ohio, is that an express statutory right?
No, Chief Justice.
I missed that. Okay, that's why it's not cited. Okay.
And this court has a long history of looking at driving and recognizing that it is a privilege. It is licensed, in this case, by the home state. And the legislature has a fair amount of discretion to control that, in this case, through the Ohio Bureau of Motor Vehicles. Ohio Revised Code Section 4507.169, Ohio's drunk driving statute, is not unconstitutional on equal protection basis We've talked about 4507-169, which basically says if you're an Ohio motorist and you cross our borders and you're drunk driving and you're convicted in another state, we're going to take that drunk driving offense back to Ohio. We're going to suspend you for 6 months. Let's talk about the other statute that we're asking you to, in peri materia, look at the same time as 4507-169. And that is 4507.60. That is referred to as the compact statute. And it is in the Ohio Revised Code. It is Ohio's law. The Bureau of Motor Vehicles must follow it. And it says quite simply, and it talks specifically about a drunk driving conviction, and it says that Ohio must treat that out-of-state DUI conviction as though it occurred in Ohio.
If it's reported pursuant to Article 3 of the compact, right?
Yes, Chief Justice Moyer.
Was the infraction in Kentucky reported pursuant to Article 3 of the compact when Kentucky isn't a member of the compact or doesn't adopt the compact?
It would not have been reported because Kentucky at the time was not a compact state. And I know that this concerned the first appellate district, but if you look at the underlying opinion, they talk about the fact that Kentucky is not in the compact, and they say on that basis the statute is unconstitutional. They give no reasoning, no rationale, and they leave us really with disparate treatment. They're saying that somehow it makes a difference the status of Kentucky, whether it's a compact state or not, but they don't explain that. And the issue in this case is not the status of Kentucky. The issue is the status of Ohio as the receiver of that information.
Oh, but except it's the compact that's used to pick up the Ohio law, isn't it? And apply it. That's your bootstrap argument, isn't it? That if you're picked up in Kentucky, charged in Kentucky with drunk driving, and you're a member of the compact requires you, the driver, to have the same rights that you would have in your resident state. Here in Ohio, the person would have the right to receive driving privileges if the judge wants to give it to them. But you don't have that without a compact, do you?
Well, it is interesting, and you raised a good question. But I would respond by saying that the status, or let's say it another way, how Ohio gets the information that one of its motorists has been convicted of drunk driving in another state really doesn't make any difference. And in fact, if you look further at 4507-169, it encourages the registrar to essentially work with other states to get this information in the first place. But the status of the state that's sending the information shouldn't make a difference, because if it does, we're left with the position that somehow now Kentucky is controlling what Ohio does as the home state, which has responsibility for licensing its motorists. The consequence is, and as a practical matter, we cannot turn our back on that Ohio motorist, whether they're driving a car or a truck, just because they cross the bridge and go into Kentucky.
That argument, I'm wondering if, and probably your opponent is better to answer this, but because it's a compact, because states agree to be a member or a non-member, I'm wondering if there is some benefit for reciprocity that really supports the argument for distinguishing between, here in Ohio, distinguishing between compact and non-compact states. Some rationale that if Kentucky doesn't want to be in the game, we're not going to apply that section, and therefore you couldn't read it in peri materia. I don't know what the reciprocity benefit, but there might be some, and I suppose your opponent might answer that, to support this idea that we don't treat Kentucky the same as because it's a non-compact state, therefore we don't apply that section. Can't read it in peri materia.
Well, Justice Cook, you raised a good question, and I'm afraid one that we will not be able to answer. We have no legislative history. We have no reasoning behind why Kentucky was not a member of the compact. I might imagine, and I do know that Michigan, for example, is not a matter may simply choose that they don't care about their motorists that they license in their state in terms of what happens when they pass through our state speeding, drunk, or what have you. But by no means should we be controlled by either Michigan or Kentucky when it comes to this argument, and when we are applying a fundamental statutory principle of in peri materia, which, as this court has recognized in State v. Lighty, you need to look at the Ohio Revised Code as one body of law. And in fact, the law says we can go to different titles and different chapters in the code as long as they apply to the same subject. And in this case, all we're asking the court to do is look at the same chapter, chapter 45, in fact, the same section, 4507, and simply read in peri materia 0.169 with 0.60 to solve the appellee's problem and to get them occupational.
Why isn't your argument, I don't want to make it for you, but it seems to me that your strongest argument is that when the Ohio legislature adopted 4507.60, it said in effect that we want to give drivers who were convicted of DUI in another state the same rights they have as if they were convicted or accused in Ohio. And it doesn't matter how we got the information, but the important point is that it's a statement of policy, that we adopt a compact, and that means that the policy of Ohio is that if you're convicted of drug driving in Kentucky, you get the same rights as you would have if you've been convicted or arrested in Ohio. Isn't that your argument?
Yes, Mr. Chief Justice, and in fact, 4507.60, the compact statute, came first. And so we can constitutionally and through the doctrine of in peri materia assume that the legislature knew that 4507.60 was on the books when they passed 4507.169 and recognized that it had been taken care of, that the Ohio voters, whether they're convicted in Ohio or outside of Ohio for drunk driving, will be treated equally for purposes of occupational driving privileges.
Mr. Becker, walk me through it. Apparently, I don't understand it like I thought I did when I read the briefs. I want to know what Appley's problem is. He's arrested in Kentucky for DUI. He's given 90 days license suspension. Reciprocity occurs under 169 in Ohio. You argue that 0.60 gives him occupational driving privileges if, in fact, he requests them, or at least has a right to request them. What's the problem?
I don't know. I don't know why we are here. We, on the appellant side, have been advancing the argument to solve Appley's problem, and yet that hasn't been enough.
What's Appley's problem? Excuse me. What's Appley's problem?
That they can't get occupational driving privileges.
But 6.0 says he can if you apply it here. If you don't apply it, I mean, he wants it applied. If you don't apply it, then he doesn't get occupational driving privileges, and you're willing to give them to him. What is the problem? If the 6-month, 90-day isn't a problem, then what is a problem?
Justice Douglas, I do not know, because in fact, we have advanced this argument. We have the published decision of Wright v. B&B out of the same county, and it has been recognized in that county that they were giving occupational driving privileges to out-of-state DUI convictions.
Let's try it a different way. What's Appley asking for? Other than the fact that Judge Crush found this unconstitutional, and now we work our way all the way up to the Supreme Court on an issue of that I can't put my finger on, what is he asking for?
To strike down the statute.
Why?
507.169.
Why? How is he affected adversely by the statute?
The Appley's argument is that 169 does not give him the right for occupational driving privileges when convicted outside of Ohio for drunk driving, whereas clearly the law in Ohio is he can ask for if convicted in state.
Did he apply for occupational driving privileges?
He filed a complaint in the common police court for declaratory relief and challenging the constitutionality of the statute, while at the same time, I believe, asking for that relief.
And did, in fact, he get occupational driving privileges? Never specifically asked for them, did he?
You raised a good question, and I'm somewhat at a loss because I didn't handle it at that time.
Well, the reason that's important is because otherwise, where's the standing? There has to be some disability. And you're willing to give him what he wants, and I don't know why we're here.
Well, let me answer it a different way. I think why we're here is because he knows that the DMV is right behind him, saying we want to take him down for 6 months in Ohio. I think he's unsatisfied with any downtime in Ohio, whether he has occupational driver privileges or not.
But you told me in my response to my first question that's not an issue in this case. It's only occupational driving privileges.
That's the only issue before you.
It is a suspension of 6 months versus 90 days.
That's correct.
Well, if the whole statute's found unconstitutional because under equal protection, I assume that's the goal here, is that his conviction wouldn't stand. But Justice Douglas's point is also raised by the finding of the Court of Appeals, is that the statute is unconstitutional to the extent that it doesn't, you know, and I'm wondering what that means. Does that mean you insert, you can't insert anything, so it means the whole thing has to be unconstitutional, doesn't it? I don't know about to the extent.
Chief Justice, let me answer that question.
Yes, you may.
Justice Cook, I think you bring up a good question. I think at most, if the appellee prevails in the constitutional challenge, that the statute only falls where you have a non-compact state recording.
Right.
The original drunk driving conviction.
Which is the case for this defendant.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're right back to a disparate treatment, frankly, that they're now advancing to bring the statute down on constitutional grounds.
Interesting.
It all goes back to what difference does the compact make?
Thank you, Mr. Becker.
Justice.
Mr. O'Connell.
Good morning, Your Honors. Please support Mr. Becker. James O'Connell, I'm appearing here for my partner Leo Breslin on behalf of the appellee. And I'd like to address, perhaps not in the same order in which they appeared, some of the questions which the court put to Mr. Beck. First, on the matter of what would happen to Mr. Hughes, what for Judge Crush's determination that at least as applied to Mr. Hughes, 169B is unconstitutional. The answer is he'd get his driver's license taken away for 6 more months, and he would not have the same opportunity that the man next door might have, the man next door who got convicted of DUI in Ohio, and who had the opportunity to go to the judge who convicted him and apply for occupational privileges at least after the first 15 days.
Let's fast forward this to today. Is your client driving?
I believe he is driving.
Has there been a stay of anything from the declaratory judgment filing on?
Yes.
Okay, so it's a stay of what?
It's a stay that prevents the registrar from coming after Mr. Hughes to suspend his license for 6 months.
But your argument was not 6 months, it was occupational driving privileges.
Correct.
So if you get occupational driving privileges, is the 6 month a problem? If I don't see that as being an issue before us.
It probably is not. I might say, though, Your Honor, picking up on what you asked in the beginning, if I had been in the game earlier than I was, I might have raised the very question that you did, namely the full faith and credit clause, because the sovereign which was offended here is Kentucky. And for whatever reason, the court there chose to impose a 3 month driving suspension on this gentleman. Now, some may say that's not enough, but it's not for us.
That's not, the penalty is not the issue. The issue is the statute constitutional? You're claiming it is unconstitutional because he cannot get occupational driving privileges in Ohio for whatever period of time. Did you ever specifically ask for occupational driving privileges and that was denied? I can't find it anyplace.
I don't believe we did, Your Honor, but there is no machinery in the statute to ask for it because, as the Chief Justice pointed out, the only appeal provided is simply an appeal to make sure that, yes, this person was convicted.
Well,
there is no right afforded anybody, the administrative avenue, nor any court, to ask for the occupational driving privileges that the man next door, in my example, would have.
Let's back up now. What happens is nothing happens in Ohio until they proceed. I mean, we used to go through this all the time, and I don't even see the mystery of it now. They file their application to suspend your driver's license on the basis of reciprocity. You go in and ask for occupational driving privileges pursuant to the Ohio statute. Judge says yes or no.
But there is no judge.
Well, after the administrative proceed, well, it's a quasi-judge with the department hearing officer that you go to. Do you have any indication that they don't grant occupational driving privileges?
I don't know one way or the other, Your Honor. But what I do know is, and getting back to what the Chief Justice pointed out, the language of 4507.169, which says the filing of a notice of appeal does not stay the operation of the suspension, and it goes on to say the scope of the hearing shall be limited to whether the person actually pleaded guilty to or was found guilty of the offense for which the suspension or denial is to be imposed. I don't think that we could go before that appellate officer and say, when I was in Columbus the other day, Justice Douglas said we should come up here and ask for this. With all due respect, Your Honor, I suspect that the bureaucrat before whom Mr. Hughes' case would be laid would say, I don't care what Douglas says, this is what the statute
says. That happens a lot.
and you're out of luck. And, Your Honor, that's the very essence of the equal protection argument that we make. That the man next door, convicted in Ohio, has the opportunity to go to the judge who found him guilty and lay before him his plight, however meritorious or non-meritorious it may be, and say, Your Honor, I work in Kentucky. My family depends on me. If I don't get over to Erlanger or Florence where I work, I'm going to be out of luck. And so let me occupational.
I guess that's what you made a statement early on that sort of caught my attention, is that it's the state of Kentucky that is offended here, not the state of Ohio, and that's the reason it's important whether Kentucky has adopted this
exactly.
compact, because your argument is this person obviously is driving in Kentucky and must live near the border,
right,
and driving in Kentucky and wants occupational driving privileges, and so it doesn't matter that Ohio has said we'll give you driving privileges by the adoption of the compact. What matters is whether, since the offense occurred in Kentucky, what matters is what Kentucky thinks about that. Is that your
response? That's a part of it, Your Honor.
Response to
irrespective of the compact or whether Kentucky was a compact state, 169 does not have within it the machinery to allow a person convicted in Ohio, affected by the statute, to stand in an equal position with his neighbor who is convicted in Ohio.
If Kentucky had adopted the compact, would there be a, I assume from the Court of Appeals opinion, there would not be a problem here. They rested their opinion. It rested its opinion on the fact Kentucky had not adopted the compact.
Even then, Your Honor, I see a kind of a practical problem in that 169 even for a compact state situation, does not provide the wherewithal that a person like Mr. Hughes can exercise the rights that the Attorney General says somehow are given to him by that compact statute. I think the solution here is that the legislature be prodded, perhaps by a decision of your honors, to sit down and take another look at 169 and insert into it some sort of language to make this truly uniform and thereby to put aside and resolve the equal protection problem that the current language of the statute so very clearly creates, and that the First District Court of Appeals felt obliged to honor as a sort of textbook constitutional law class example of a deprivation of equal application of the law.
Does the Ohio working privilege statute allow Ohio to permit an Ohio citizen to go into Kentucky on that set of facts and drive?
I don't know, Your Honor. I think, again, that would be, though,
so what would happen
for Kentucky.
So what would happen if you did get driving privileges and you went over to Kentucky where you work and you were stopped and the officer put your number in the computer and comes up, well, this guy's suspended from driving and he's out of luck, right?
Well, I think...
Can you say, wait a minute, I got permission from Ohio to drive to and from work and I just happened to work in Florence. What does he do then?
I think going to Kentucky, Your Honor...
He'd be back in jail, right?
I suspect they would, but Mr. Hughes had the opportunity, and I believe, asked the court in Kentucky for the very sort of relief that Your Honor mentioned. And again, getting back to what Justice Douglas said, the sovereign offender here is Kentucky, and they control their roads, and if it's up to them to decide to what extent a person who has violated Kentucky law shall or shall not be permitted to operate a motor vehicle on the highways of that state.
But then giving the right for him to have the other rights that Ohio citizens have, that they can petition and get or not get driving privileges for work, really doesn't help people that work in Kentucky, does it?
No.
You just want them to at least have the right to
exactly.
get that driving privilege, and whether he's going to get in trouble in Kentucky, that's his problem.
That's his problem in Kentucky.
But in this case, the trial court ruled that the suspension of Mr. Hughes' driver's license, having been imposed pursuant to an unconstitutional statute, is hereby revoked. So I guess I misunderstood. I thought you said that wasn't the issue here, but really, it's the whole punishment of this particular defendant is going to be based on the unconstitutionality, and an affirmance means he doesn't get suspended.
I believe so, Your Honor. Now, if within the power of this court, I'm sure to say, we find 169B unconstitutional to the extent that it deprived this defendant, or this plaintiff in this case, defendant, criminal matter, of the opportunity to seek occupational driving privilege.
What would that mean? Is his license revoked? His suspension revoked or not?
I would think the suspension would remain revoked because there
sure.
is no machinery in 169.
We can't insert in a statute an additional privileges for occupational driving.
I think that's the solution. The folks across the street
yeah.
ought to be asked,
but we don't
you
insert.
Please take a look
right.
at this and make it conform to a little thing called
yeah.
the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution.
One more question. Did you you say this originated as a declaratory judgment action?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe I'm close to the end of my...
Why don't you just read .60 into it?
I'd like to, but I'm not so sure that fellow at the Bureau is going to read it into it, and I suspect he's going to look at the way the statute is worded and say, I don't see anything in there that gives me any right to make any investigation other than what .169 tells me.
So up to this moment, there's not even been any hearing before the hearing officer.
No, but I don't think it would have been a good idea for counsel representing Mr. Hughes at that time to take that chance. I think he made the right move in going to the Common Pleas Court and making this equal.
Supposing we say it's constitutional and engrafted into 169 is 60, and hearing officers take notice of that. That solves your problem, doesn't it?
I would hope it would, Your Honor. But knowing bureaucrats as you do and I do, I wouldn't take a bet on it.
Well, that's the most you can get from us. We can urge the General Assembly to change the statute. We can't change it, though.
No.
The only way we can do what you want us to do is to say, well, it seems to me, is that Ohio has adopted the compact, and so that means that Ohio believes that a person picked up in Kentucky for DUI ought to have the same rights they would have if they were picked up for drunk driving in Ohio, because Ohio's adopted the compact. That way we say, okay, you go to your hearing officer and you've got the same rights you'd have if you were picked up in Cincinnati.
That would be a super stretch of the whole doctrine of pari materia and statutory construction. When you look at the compact statute and it has that very broad language, and then you look at 169 and you see that it provides nothing of that sort and specifically says the hearing is to be limited to these very few matters, that really sort of nullifies it as a hearing. And so what we're asking is that the court do what the Court of Appeals said, that is declare the statute unconstitutional to the extent that it...
Isn't it really for the reason that? I mean, what's to the... I just don't even understand that. Maybe how can something be to the extent that? It's more for the reason that it violates the Equal Protection Clause.
That's probably a better way to put it, John.
Well, you probably say to the extent of, because if we say that, doesn't everybody whose license has been suspended pursuant to 169 suffer a collateral disability?
Probably.
And so, because if you declare it unconstitutional, it's as though the law never was. So everybody who is operating now, or not operating because of a foreign license suspension, is back on the road.
That may be, Your Honor. But if it's unconstitutional...
May not be, too.
It's unconstitutional. And again, as the Chief Justice pointed out, it's not up to this body to write the law, it's up to this body to interpret it.
Well, no, but courts frequently say that a statute is unconstitutional to the extent that it does X, to limit to make only that part of the statute unconstitutional that is. I mean, there are other parts of the statute that there's no reason to declare them unconstitutional, so you say to the extent that, whether it's for the reason of, but it's a way to limit the constitutionality of that.
I believe that is the solution that should be.
Thank you, Mr. Connell.
Thank you.
I just have 15 seconds.
I was going to give you 30, but if you want 15, take 15.
I will not spend the time re-arguing the case, but I do not want to leave this court with some confusion, and I believe there is. The bureaucrat referred to by the appellee is a hearing officer of the Ohio Bureau of Motor Vehicles who acts pursuant to the Administrative Procedure Act. That individual has no authority to grant occupational driving privileges. Occupational driving privileges are granted pursuant to the courts, municipal courts where the city is large enough to have one, or county courts otherwise, pursuant to Ohio Revised Code Section 4507.16. So I wanted to clarify.
Thank you, because I was hearing discussion. I thought that was the law, but I didn't want to act dumb. There was talk here as if the hearing officer could do that, but that You're saying the hearing officer cannot do that, Bureau of Motor Vehicles.
Hearing officer, the Bureau cannot. This is a matter for the courts pursuant to 3507.16, and that's how you get back to, that's where Chief Justice, you started with in 3507.169, the hearing. That's an administrative process. What you need to do to get occupational driving privileges goes through the courts. That's why you need incorrect materials to say the statute.
So your argument is that the scope of the hearing language in the 169 does not refer to the driving, does not limit a judge's authority to grant driving privileges.
That's correct. You cannot get occupational driving privileges. All you can say is, I'm not Charles Hughes, I wasn't in Kentucky, I wasn't convicted. It simply challenges the underlying receipt of the information.
How does the driver get into court? An appeal from the hearing officer's decision?
Yes, he can't
appeal that he's not Charlie Hughes. Can't appeal that he wasn't driving. What's the appeal?
He can appeal pursuant to the Administrative Procedures Act into the Common Police Court, but we believe, and consistent with Wright v. DMV, the only published decision that lays out the procedure, the appellee or anybody similarly situated can go to the home, municipal, or county court where they reside and file a petition for occupational driving privileges.
That's my talking about, not the administrative hearing officer.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Becker. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.